This is the Hoosier Ag Today Tuesday podcast on the 8th of October, 2024. Good morning. I'm Andy Eubank, joined by Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller on the news today. The Hat Podcast brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. FFBT.com to learn more and stop by your local branch. Eric and CJ with the news. They'll have stories, including an update on harvest in the west central section of Indiana. And EPA gets a win for the state's beef and pork producers. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin here, too. He says no major changes to his warm and dry forecast. And the markets were mixed yesterday. We'll have analysis with John Zanker on the Hoosier Ag Today Tuesday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal opportunity lender.
Attention, Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig.
A Pioneer Harvest update and a legal victory for the pork and beef industries. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today, brought to you by McDonald's. This National 4-H Week, McDonald's of Greater Indiana salutes all past, present, and future farmers all across the Hoosier State. Well, Indiana's corn and soybean harvest is moving along at a rapid pace and will likely continue to do so with this friendly forecast. Eric Pfeiffer shares more.
Great results so far, especially on the corn side.
That's West Central Indiana agronomist Nick Hedden with this Pioneer Harvest update.
We've seen some really high yield levels so far this year, more so than last year. So really exciting to see some of these new products really pump out the bushels.
Hedden says growers are very pleased with their early planted soybeans as well, but later planted beans have been good, not great, due to the dry stretch in August.
They probably just didn't have enough moisture to quite finish the seeds filling the pods. And like I say, they're not bad, but they maybe weren't quite as much as they were hoping to get, you know, seeing some of the early soybean yields that we've witnessed so far.
Coming into the season, the big news from Pioneer was their new Z-Series soybeans, improving on their already stellar A-Series brand. Hedden says with results now coming in, they're as advertised, consistently 2 to 4 bushels per acre higher than the A-Series.
But not only the yield, but we've got increased agronomics with more soybean cyst nematode resistance in Peking, better disease scores as far as sudden death syndrome and white mold. So just overall, these beans they've lived up to expectations.
Hedden knows the forecast is friendly and everyone wants to put the hammer down and get harvest done quickly. But he also wants to make sure you're staying safe.
I really appreciate you guys providing agronomy updates and insights from Pioneer. But, you know, safety's always got to be the number one focus before anything else. The low humidity that we're seeing and not a lot of rain in the forecast, which is great for harvest and get a lot done, but we've also got to keep in mind some of those fire risks with that low humidity.
Here at Hoosier Ag Today, we've heard of several combine fires around the state, so please be careful. You can get in touch with your Pioneer representative to start putting a plan together for next year by visiting pioneer.com/findmyrep. I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
A legal victory for both the pork and beef industries after more than a dozen environmental activist groups had challenged the EPA to put tighter regulations on large livestock farms when it comes to the disposal of animal waste.
This case was one of those interesting situations where the industry groups agreed with the EPA that, yeah, we don't need to open up this rule again, and EPA got a win today, and we're glad. So it's an odd situation to be in, but there it is.
And that's Josh Trenary, Executive Director of Indiana Pork. Back in 2017, those activist groups petitioned the EPA to change its rules on how concentrated animal feeding operations, or CAFOs for short, get rid of their manure. Those activists claim that the manure from many hog and cattle farms are finding their ways into our waterways.
EPA had initially denied those, but they didn't take no action. I mean, they did agree to put together an advisory committee to look at the issue and to consider what revisions might make sense for effluent limitation guidelines for CAFOs. So they weren't doing the full-on review that the activist groups wanted, but they were doing something. And so, you know, that committee process is ongoing, and we're certainly in favor of that type of review too, but the activist groups weren't.
Last year, the groups decided to sue the EPA. However, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco last week ruled against the activist and said the EPA did the right thing by setting up an advisory committee first to take its time and study the issue before changing its regulations. Even though Indiana has its own regulations regarding CAFOs, Trenary says these activist groups are simply trying to harm the pork industry.
So the CAFO rule requires permitting if you discharge. Well, in Indiana, our barns are designed not to discharge. We don't discharge anything from the production site. We contain that manure until we can move it off site and land apply it at an agronomic rate. Well, the activist groups don't even like you land applying at an agronomic rate.
And that's why Trenary says that Indiana Pork and the National Pork Producers Council are working to keep these activist groups from succeeding.
We work directly with producers on a lot of policy issues and environmental and several others. We've got good rapport with the other Indiana agriculture groups. We've got good national partners, and roughly two-thirds of the producers invest voluntarily in the policy arm of this organization, and we take that really seriously and try to provide a level of service that helps our members navigate these things.
Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm C.J. Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Harvest means early mornings, late nights, and long days in the field. While you're out there each day until the last pass is made and the job is done, know that your friends at Farm Credit Mid-America see your hard work and appreciate all of your long hours. We know that harvest is a busy season for you, but when you need a lender that can rise with you, give us a call at 800-444-FARM. This fall, we rise together. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. No major changes in my thought process here. Going forward, we are sunny, warm, and dry for most of the next 10 days. And when I say most, I think we're still dry all the way through. But when I say warm, we have a couple of days that's slightly cooler to start off next week, Monday, Tuesday, as cold air breaks out of Canada. And maybe we see a few showers pop up in parts of Michigan or Ohio as we hit early next week. So generally speaking, in Indiana, we have a wide open harvest window that is going here. We're going to be seeing a lot of dry down, low humidity values, very dry area and over the area. I don't really have much of anything else for you in that regard. If you want to know when our next frontal boundary may try and develop, I look for a front to try and work its way into the northern plains next Thursday, the 17th. It's a minor front, doesn't have a lot of moisture to work with. I think the moisture that's getting wrung out is kind of an air mass shift here. So if that front can hold together, likely as we get into the weekend, the 19th or 20th, we can see a few hit and miss scattered showers. But it's going to be asking this front a lot to hold together with the minimal moisture that it has right now, because it's going to be moving across some very dry areas of the U.S. in order to make it to us. So I'm watching that one, but otherwise I think we still have a very strong surge of harvest that we're going to get through. Nothing is going to derail you here between now and next Thursday, Friday. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Gains in corn and wheat, beans down just a little. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Monday Farm Market Review. It was a mixed day of trade, settlements coming up. We'll begin, though, with thoughts from market analyst John Zanker of Risk Management Commodities.
I spoke with him right at the end of trade. John, the market's mixed and relatively quiet to open up a new week of trade. Later in the week, USDA report. That's coming on Friday. But for now, export inspections out on Monday morning and okay for corn and wheat. Really, really good for beans. That's the market, though, that sold off. So contrary to the export inspections is how the market's moved.
Well, the markets were lower in beans before that report, and that number is certainly the biggest one that we've seen since, last winter, early last winter, maybe late in the fall. It's a seasonal number. It was just short of what we saw a year ago. So starting this week is a run of weeks that we need to see be really strong if we have any kind of shot at the USDA's current yearly projection for exports of 1.85 billion. We're currently tracking last year pretty close, and we only ended up at 1.7 billion. So pretty energetic estimates from the USDA that aren't quite being backed up yet, but we have seen some pretty good numbers here, sales and shipments the past several weeks. So maybe we'll get some progress there. And of course, we continue to have a late planting issue in Brazil that continues to get some attention.
Harvest rolling along. Looks, according to weather forecasts, like that will continue. What's the level so far as harvest pressure on the markets?
Well, I drove out and back out to Lincoln, Nebraska and back over the weekend. And boy, there was it was Sunday. So we still have some folks that don't get out there on Sunday. But there was a lot of combines cutting soybeans yesterday. And that's going to be the story this week and into next week. But a whole lot of corn left to harvest, Andy. Very little corn really taken off along that I-72-74 corridor. So, and I think that'll probably be the story. Drove up to Fort Wayne this morning, and every combine I saw was cutting soybeans. So moisture coming out quick again, unfortunately. And there's going to be some feverish activity there this week.
Pressure on the markets or opportunities for some higher moves in the markets? What should we look for?
Well, I think we have to be concerned. We have some moisture moving finally into the 4 to 7 day forecast for that Mato Grosso Goiás area, and then heavier amounts in the 11 to 15 day. And it looks like the noon updates were a little wetter after going drier. So we'll see how that unfolds, but continue to be, that's a bigger problem still for corn than it is soybeans. They plant soybeans late and still have full yields down there with the year-round growing season. But if you plant that second crop corn late down there, you can set your watch by that hot and dry season. So we're getting into a time frame where that's just going to continue to be a bigger and bigger issue.
Important USDA report coming up on Friday, the October report. How important might that be?
Well, I think it's important. You know, this one sometimes is one of the quieter ones as far as production reports, but the trade will certainly be interested to see what might have happened with the dry finish to the crops in a good portion of the Corn Belt. Did yields really increase from August to September, or are we going to see some of those states dial back their numbers a bit? I think that we're probably going to see the trade of around 184 on corn, which would be up a little bit from last month. Maybe we could see that bean number trend down to 53, maybe slightly lower. Early yield reports really across the belt on corn, pretty darn strong, Andy. And so I don't have any confidence that that number is going to come down. Beans are more mixed, and a lot of that is just due to the fact that we ran out of water again after the 15th of August.
Market commentary from John Zanker, Risk Management Commodities. The number there is 866 837-9027. Now more numbers. The Monday settlements up just a skosh in the corn market. Dece up a penny and a quarter, 426. March 442 and three quarters up an even penny. And May up an even penny at 451 and a half. Down a little over three in beans. Novi 1034, three and three quarters lower. January 10.52 and a half, down 3.5 cents. March down 3.5 cents, 10.67 and three quarters. Up 2 3/4 on December wheat, 5.92 and a half. March 6.16 and a half, up 3 3/4. The meats quietly up. December live cattle 187.02, up 2 cents. December lean hogs 76.82, up 67. I'm Andy Eubank with the Monday market review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.